The ambrosial song of the beautiful Lord Sri Krishna, Bhagavad Gita narration, chapter 3, Karma Yoga. Divine communion through performance of selfless works. Arjuna said, O Janardhan, if you consider the cultivation of enlightened intelligence to be superior to the performance of scripturally prescribed activity, then why, O Keshav, do you urge me to engage in this terrible activity of warfare? My intelligence is confused by your equivocal words, offering two apparently contradictory advices. Please tell me definitely which course will be most beneficial for me. Two progressive paths of self-elevation have previously been taught by me in this world, O faultless one. The more passive path of cultivating knowledge, as followed in the Sankhya school of empiricism, and the more active path of performing selfless works and practicing the eightfold system of meditation as followed by the yogis. Not by abstaining from activity does a person obtain freedom from the karmic cycle of action and reaction, nor by renunciation alone does he achieve perfection. Indeed, no one can refrain from performing some type of action even for a moment. All living beings are helplessly forced to perform activity according to the qualities which they have acquired from material nature. One who restrains his active sense organs, yet dwells on the objects of the senses within his mind, is said to be behaving in a self-deluded, hypocritical way. But one who attempts to control the senses by the mind, O Arjuna, and engages the active sense organs in performing virtuous works without attachment, is by far superior. Aside from those actions which are performed solely for the purpose of sacrifice, all actions cause bondage within this world. Therefore, Kaunteya, perform your duties for that purpose, free from attachment. At the time of creation, Lord Brahma created humankind along with religious sacrifices and said, may you happily flourish and prosper. May the performance of these rites be for you a wish-fulfilling cow of plenty. May you nurture the celestial denizens by these sacrifices, and may they nurture you as well by mutually nurturing each other. You will achieve the highest benefit. Being nurtured by the performance of sacrifice, the celestials will certainly provide you with all desirable pleasures. Thus, Arjuna, one who enjoys such heaven-sent gifts without making fine offerings to the celestials in return, is indeed a thief. The virtuous who eat foods which are the remnants of sacrifice are released from all kinds of sins, but the wicked, who prepare food only for themselves, verily eat only sin. Living beings are sustained by food. Food is produced from rain. Rain is generated by the performance of sacrifice, and sacrifice is brought about by action. Know that sacrificial action originates from the Vedas, and the Vedas directly originate from the imperishable Brahman. Therefore, the all-pervading Brahman is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. One who does not turn the wheel which sets in motion the cycle of sacrifice in this world is malicious, O Partha. He who lives only for delighting the senses lives in vain. But for one whose only pleasure is in the self, whose only satisfaction is in the self, and who is fully content in the self alone, for him there is no duty to perform. Such a person has no purpose to fulfill in either performing or not performing any activity in this world, nor has he any need to depend upon any other living being for any purpose whatsoever. Therefore, remaining ever unattached to receiving rewards or producing expected results, perform those activities which are your duty. For by performing prescribed activities without attachment, a person reaches the supreme. Indeed, kings such as Janak attain perfection solely by the performance of scripturally prescribed duties. Thus, even if only for the sake of seeing to the well-being of the populace, by maintaining and guiding them, you, Arjun, should perform your duty. Whatever a great personality does, other persons will also do. And whatever standards he sets, the world will follow. O Partha, there is nothing necessary for me to accomplish within all the three worlds, nor is there anything whatsoever which I have not attained, which still remains to be attained. Yet nevertheless, I engage in activity. For if at any time I cease to be vigorously engaged in activity, all humankind would certainly follow my path. If I did not perform any activity, all the worlds would perish, and I would be the creator of confusion and destruction among all beings. And those who are unwise perform their activities with attachment, Arjuna. So should the wise act without attachment for the sake of maintaining the world. Those who are wise should not disrupt the minds of the ignorant who are attached to reward-centered activity. Rather, they should encourage them to joyfully perform all of their activities in a way which is connected to the scriptural system of progressive soul elevation. All material activities everywhere are performed by the qualities of material nature. Yet this soul, deluded by egoism, thinks, I am the doer. But he who knows the truth, O mighty armed one, knows the actual relationship between material activity and material nature. Thus thinking nature as the senses and nature as the sense objects are simply interacting with each other, such a person remains detached. However, those who are deluded by the qualities of material nature become attached to such interactions of the senses and the sense objects. Though they are foolish persons of incomplete knowledge, the wise should not unsettle them. Therefore, Arjuna, submitting to my will in all your activities, focusing your consciousness on the Supersoul, being free from expectations and indifferent to personal possessions, fight, your fever having departed. Those persons who always carry out my instructions with complete faith, without bitterness or resentment, are also released from the bondage of karma. But those who disrespect my instructions and do not follow them, know them to be bereft of all wisdom and good sense, deluded and ruined. All living beings act in accordance with their tendencies derived from material nature. Even one who is full of wisdom follows his acquired nature. What will artificial repression accomplish? Attraction and aversion are both residing within the senses in relation to their respective sense objects. One should not come under the control of the senses or the sense objects, because they are indeed one's enemies. It is better to perform one's own occupational duties inefficiently than to perform another's duties perfectly. Better to meet with death in the course of performing one's own duty, because to take up the duties prescribed for others is to invite danger. Arjuna inquired, "Then what force compels a person to commit sinful acts, even seemingly against his will, O descendant of Vrishni?" Bhagavan Sri Krishna replied, "Arjuna, that force which compels a person to commit sinful activities, even against his will, is lust and wrath, which is born of the material quality of passion. Know it to be the all-devouring, greatly evil enemy of this world. As fire is obscured by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as a fetus is enveloped by the embryonic sac, so is the self veiled by that passion. Wisdom is concealed by this eternal enemy of the wise, whose form of lustful desires blazes like an insatiable fire. The senses, the mind, and the intellect are the dwelling places of this lust, which deludes the embodied soul and obscures his wisdom. Therefore, O best of the Bharatas, slay this evil demon of lust, which is the destroyer of wisdom and realization. The learned say that the senses have their particular power and importance, but the mind is superior to the senses, and the intellect is higher than the mind. But still higher than the intellect is the self. Thus, having learned of that which is superior to the intellect, O Mahabaho Arjuna, sustain that self by self-discipline and slay that enemy which is in the form of lustful desire and which is difficult to conquer." Thus ends the third chapter of the Ambrosial Song of Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, Karma Yoga, divine communion through selfless works.